I am Frank Vaughn. It is February 27th, 2025, and undoubtedly the most important news of the day hasn't happened yet. That's the Jeffrey Epstein client list. We are all eager to see it. We're all eager to see where the redactions are. And I'm sure in unrelated news, Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman and his wife and dog found dead in their New Mexico home. Foul play has been ruled out. Moving on, Jagmeet Singh is again making a fool of himself in front of Canada and American eyes. Canadian leftist NDP leader Jagmeet Singh says, "We need to ban Donald Trump from attending the G7 summit. Why would we allow a convicted criminal into this country?" Clyde Do Something says, sort of like how Jagmeet is banned from entering India. Jagmeet is a known Khalistani terrorist sympathizer. He is on no-fly lists. This man has no political relevance whatsoever. I'll explain in a minute after I read Tim Pool. Jagmeet is a slang term meant to insult a man. It's wildly offensive. I'm not joking. Well, Jagmeet is a joke. He's worthy of jokes. The only power he and his party will have is the power that they have today to hold the Liberals in office, because if we get an election, his party and him will be wiped out. He can't even win his own seat. I don't even know why he's talking. And I think the only reason the Americans are paying attention to this guy is because he is an international curiosity. Moving on to far more important and relevant politicians, Scott Moe, Premier of Saskatchewan, says, effective immediately, all pipeline permits going east, west, or south received in Saskatchewan will be considered pre-approved. We encourage all provinces and the federal government to do the same, tagging in Justin Trudeau and real Donald Trump. Liz Liu says, Frank, come on, you're smarter than that. You can be if you want to be. Find out if Mo can just pre-approve a pipeline through the province. Ask yourself if that actually makes sense and it's possible. Now understand, Mo is hoping you're dumb enough to eat it up. Well, what else was outside Mo's jurisdiction that he took action on? He stopped the carbon tax being applied to home heating, an illegal act. He did it anyway, and Ottawa can't do anything about it. When Ottawa came for legal, lawful Saskatchewan firearms owner through C-21 and through the order in council, Scott Moe created a law that was so convoluted and complicated that it effectively made those two laws inapplicable and unenforceable here in Saskatchewan. When Ottawa started sending federal agents to trespass on Saskatchewan landowners' land to test their dugouts to try and create some kind of legal pretext for more interference from Ottawa, Scott said, if you keep doing it, I'm going to arrest your officers and put them in jail. And the federal government backed off. So Scott Moe has the power. He's doing it already. Just watch him. And just watch me isn't just a Pierre Elliott Trudeau quote. Scott Moe uttered those words when he assumed the office of premier, and we've been watching him since. And I've said some critical things about Scott Moe, and I will in the future, because that's my job. But he's done a good job of leading this province away from Ottawa. He just needs to take it a step further. But first, it was the cons in the 1980s who wanted nothing to do with the West to East, and it was the cons that sold Petro-Canada. Imagine. We could have had all that infrastructure in place decades ago. Problem is, the cons had no vision. Seems to me Alberta shot themselves in the foot, I guess, by electing conservatives. The problem with Ottawa, the opposition that the West has lived in when it comes to Ottawa, goes back 150 years, and it is bipartisan. We have prospered in spite of Ottawa. We're in an abusive relationship. When we are tempted to turn our hatred to the United States, look at the United States as the good friend who is saying, hey, your husband's punching you in the face repeatedly every day, and that's wrong. And we, as the abused partner, are defending the abusive husband. So we spend all of our time fighting Ottawa, but now we're supposed to hate the United States, who sends us their capital. All they do for us is buy our product. They have not tried to shut down the Alberta energy sector or the Saskatchewan energy sector. The current government was elected on a province to bring forward a carbon tax which would end the resource economies of the western provinces. why are we defending Ottawa when the only thing the Americans want to do is buy what we have to sell? Moving on to a user, Brian Kuntz says, as an American investor in Canadian mining companies, I am approaching a place where it may be prudent to liquidate my Canadian holdings. There isn't anything from keeping Carney from freezing U.S. capital with the stroke of a pen. If I am thinking this, then there must be billionaire investors thinking the same. Yes, Mark Carney promising unending emergencies in the name of every single cause that you can imagine. This is his campaign promise on the trail, which implies usage of the Emergencies Act. If we are actually facing a trade war with the United States, which may come later down the road, Carney can use his power as prime minister to do exactly what Brian is thinking. And there are other companies who are seeing the same thing. The headline is, Barrick considering redomiciling from Canada to the U.S. and Trump could make it happen faster, says CEO Mark Bristow. They're reading the tea leaves. I don't know how the Canadian public isn't understanding. First, how much the world has changed. Watch my video from yesterday. But second, what it means for Canada. If we continue going on the same way, pretending that the world as it has been developing over the last decade is actually going to continue developing that way, you're just going to see massive capital flight, and there will be a great big suction sound from the United States as companies flee. They're already starting to do it. Mark Carney is the Grim Reaper for this country. He will fool millions of people. They will suffer. He will blame it on Trump. And nothing could be further from the truth. It is the policies of the Canadian government, under both parties, I will add, but no more so than what we've experienced in the last 10 years under this government. They bear responsibility for everything that's about to happen. One of the questions I see in the comment section most frequently is, why doesn't Trump just spill the beans? If he knows that Canada is infiltrated by the CCP, if he knows about the scale of drug trafficking and money laundering in Canada, why doesn't he just tell everybody? And the answer I usually give is it's his story to tell and his timing. He has delayed tariffs until April 2nd. Some, they're trying to spin it like he is backing off and we have scored some kind of win. But it actually denies the Liberals and the NDP and the current governing coalition one of their primary cards to advance their UBI, Totalitarian Emergency Act powers plan for Canada in the name of fighting Trump's trade war. He's taken the card away. He's taken away one of their principal stories for maintaining the government. Now, the NDP and the Liberals want you to believe that Polyev is completely in bed with Trump. We're going to talk about that next. But first, I just want to highlight that as commentators and influencers and news media in the United States becomes more curious about Canada and wants to know more about us, they're going to discover these things that we've been discussing. Jack Posobiec is actually an indicator. Canada spent $216 million on efforts to locate graves of Indigenous children hidden at churches, but didn't find anything. This speech, this fact, is something that the Canadian government wants to ban. You're not allowed to talk about this fact that they haven't found any bodies. So while you can talk about it, you should talk about it. And Paso is noting something else. There has been a pogrom against Christians in this country for a long time, and it is swept under the rug by all Canadian politicians. Nobody seems to want to talk about the systemic destruction of Christianity in this country. This man at times can't even say the words Happy Easter. And with that, let's examine how Pierre Polyev has completely dropped the ball in the last couple weeks. This is Mark Carney. Who's the worst person to stand up to Donald Trump? Pierre Polyev. He worships the man. Whether or not this is true is beside the point. Polyev has become responsive to the Liberals. He has become responsive to NDP criticism. And he has decided that he must position himself as the greatest anti-Trump force in Canada, and as the man who will stand tough against the evil orange man in the South. Once again, making the same mistake that Scheer and O'Toole made, which is dancing to the Liberal tune. The place to position himself would have been the middle ground, which nobody occupies, which would have said, America is our biggest trading partner, and we should do everything in our power to make sure that we maintain friendly relations. He could have built a diplomatic angle. Carney's going to say this no matter what he does, but now that Pierre is dancing to Carney's tune, he is losing some support. I don't know if it's as bad as the polls show, but it's pretty bad. This is a compilation of all the recent polls, and you can see the shift back to the Liberal Party under Carney. Now, you can make an argument that some of these polls, like the ones coming out of IQOS and Frank Graves, are complete and utter bogus fake news. There's reason to suspect other polling houses, but there is a trend shift that is being picked up by traditionally more honest voices. And that is largely because there's a huge group of people in the center of Canada who actually believe the Conservatives are the second coming of Adolf Hitler and will vote for anything if it's something that will stop them, and it's not Justin Trudeau, because they were sick of Justin Trudeau and his government, and somehow they think importing a European to lead the country and lead the Liberal Party, who doesn't even have a seat in the House of Commons, who leads the same party that led us to this perdition, is somehow good enough. There is a swing in support. Again, Pierre is responding to this, but he is responding in a completely bullheaded and wrong way. I say here in response to this new vote intention calculation, which has the Liberals ahead by 2%. I'm not sure how I buy this, but the shift is real. Pierre lost the plot and most of his edge. He jumped into bed with Team Canada harder and deeper than the people who came up with the concept. Now he's out of position, and no one occupied the middle ground. Team Canada was not the solution for Pierre Poilievre. It's not to be against the concept of Canada, but it's this idea that you're in a competition for who can destroy the Canadian, who can destroy Canadian lives and livelihoods the quickest. They're all advocating for the same trade war, the same response to Trump, and that is what will harm you as Canadians. Pierre's position was the middle. He's lost it, and now he's paying the price, and you see it in the polling data. Speaking of middle ground, one of the only people in Canada showing real and genuine leadership is Daniel Smith. Many Albertans and Canadians alike are rightly concerned about the threat of U.S. tariffs. Today, Alberta's legislature held an emergency debate to address the issue and reaffirm our government's commitment to finding a diplomatic solution with our American counterparts. I would prefer she use the word partners, because that's what they are. As I said below, Alberta prospers in opposition to Ottawa, and with the willing supply of U.S. capital, they are better friends, and they are. I gave a history lesson in one of my videos, very brief, about how Eastern Canada, specifically Ottawa, the Laurentian elites, have been screwing over Western Canada and standing in opposition to our growth and strength. They don't want a strong West. Quebec wants a leashed West. They want the capital that we generate, but they don't want us to have significant representation. I've covered this in other videos. Another example of how we are losing the middle ground: the Supreme Court of Canada moving away from social media platform X. Why are they moving away from X? Because it's owned by Elon Musk. Why are we responding? Elon Musk is not even responsible for assessing tariffs to Canada. He has nothing to do with it. His mission right now is to uncover waste, fraud, and abuse in the U.S. government and make sure that the president's executive orders are actually adhered to. That's what he's doing. And instead, for whatever reason, Canadians are off to signing petitions, now 300,000 strong, to remove his citizenship. Omar Khadr still has his citizenship. There's many terrorists who have been brought back to Canada who have citizenships, and the Canadian public doesn't seem to care. The Canadian public doesn't seem to care that we're overrun by cartels and triads. The Canadian public doesn't care about any of it, but they do care that Elon Musk, who used to be a hero in this country, by the way, electric vehicles, this man was a celebrated shining star of the left until he decided to tell the truth and get on board with the real good that the Trump administration is doing. The Supreme Court of Canada moving away from X is far more significant than it looks, because they are taking a political position. And this goes to my point that the judiciary in this country is captured by progressives, so-called progressives, the regressive left. It's captured. The same as the municipalities and the unelected positions within the municipalities, the highest paid people at the municipal level, have been captured. The Senate has been captured, largely because of Justin Trudeau. Even if Poilievre, as he dances to Carney, if he can squeak out a victory and he can actually form a majority government, he is still going to be dancing to their tune because all around him are captured institutions, which we will be fighting with for the next 10 to 20 years, unless there is massive public outcry. And I, considering how Poilievre has changed the CPC's trajectory in terms of their messaging so much in the last couple of weeks, I don't have a lot of faith that they'll do what they need to do, which is call on the Canadian public to get loud and proud about the agenda if he wins, about his agenda, about advancing it and getting over the opposition of the Senate and the judiciary. It's going to require really bold leadership. Pierre looked bold for a while. Does he really look bold now? I talked yesterday about how people like Jeff Bezos and the billionaire class and Mark Zuckerberg are able to read the tea leaves, and they understand ahead, way ahead of the Canadian public, how vast the change that's sweeping the world actually is. The Toronto Star says Toronto's Pride 2025 festival in peril as large sponsors pull funding amid U.S. backlash against diversity. Again, Toronto Star is just fake news. This isn't about U.S. backlash. The public hasn't wanted this stuff for years because it doesn't do anything. Why celebrate sodomy? What does it do for society? What does it contribute to the demographic health and well-being of the civilization? Do what you want in your own bedroom, but why are we shoving it down everybody's throats? This parade, this festival, has become a feast of perversion. And when I say pervert, I don't mean gay. I mean dudes walking around naked in front of kids. That's what Canada has become. So the spotlight is on that now. And business leaders who went along to get along are now understanding that what they've been going along with, because they're just trying to make money, isn't going to sell products anymore. We saw what happened to Bud Light. That is the canary in the coal mine. It's over. We know they've destroyed Star Wars as a franchise. They've destroyed Lord of the Rings as a franchise. You can't make money on this stuff because normies don't want to buy it. They're not happy with it. And you can't build a civilization around it because it doesn't have a single foundational element to it. There are a lot of people who just haven't figured it out yet. Get violent and fight. Tennessee minister defends violence to stop Trump. This is the same old playbook. It isn't going to work. This is reality. Trump administration says it's cutting 90% of U.S. aid foreign aid contracts. This is a big deal for activists here in Canada, because a lot of the grift, a lot of the pork that was coming out of the United States was ending up in activist hands right here. China's influence over the politics of North America has been incredibly destructive. They're behind a lot of this. And the Biden administration was very much an outboard, an outgrowth of that influence. They were more than happy to fund and defend the very policies that are undermining the entire American civilization. It's over. That's the point I'm just trying to make. It's over. IKEA loses in Poland's Supreme Court. The policy of inclusivity should not exclude Christians. So there's this idea. The Polish Supreme Court has refused to hear a cessation appeal filed by IKEA in the case of Janusz Komenda, an employee fired for criticizing the demands of the LGBT movement. So this is similar to the bake the cake fiasco that happened in the United States a few years ago. It's not just tolerance. These people want you bowing down. We have Pride Months. We got sidewalks all over the place. We got them shoving it down our throat all over the place because it's an ideology. It's not about acceptance. It's about dominance. When you see, in my previous video work, the Canadian forces holding up that rainbow flag with the trans symbols on it, that's a sign of ideological capture. And I can tell you right now, the CCP, Communist Chinese, who have banned effeminate men, they love seeing the rot undermining our civilization. They do it through drugs. They do it through ideology. They do it through the destruction of our cultural heritage. It's over. We almost became completely wiped out. If Trump hadn't won, we may have lost forever. But now we have a chance to do something. Canada needs to wake up. You need to understand what you have become and why you are a primary security threat to the United States. Now we're going to go through some of the desktop material. Zachary Tisdale, who is running in the Ontario election. You can vote for him tomorrow, October 28th. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Let's recap just this month. February 12th, all of Canada's 13 premiers go down to Washington to try and meet with Trump, who only sends a staffer. Then the premier of PEI resigns, and the premier of Newfoundland resigns. Read the tea leaves. They're telling you that Canada is strong and united, and we are in a dominant position. They're lying. Team Canada, the people who have destroyed and undermined Canada, are setting you up to fall. I'm trying to warn you before it happens. Quantum Life says there are 4,700 Sudan migrants coming to Canada thanks to Trudeau. We have 10 cities, and that derp brings more migrants to Canada. He is insane. It's true. You can't afford a house now because of mass immigration, because of money laundering, because of drug trafficking, because of all the foreign influence and interference that we live with every single day. And their solution is to cram more in. Every one of these people will get a check from the taxpayer, money that we don't have. This needs to be stopped. It needs to be reversed. And there's about 4 to 5 million people in this country that need to go back. The headline is Russia's Putin outlines potential aluminum rare earth deals with the United States. And another headline is Putin says talks with U.S. inspire certain hopes as 6+ hour Istanbul meeting concludes. And I want you to understand how we look at the map and how that is changing. We tend to think of North America and Europe, and we tend to think of trade like this mentally. That's the geopolitical mental image that I think most Canadians have of the world, a relationship with Europe. But the fact is, Canada's relationships flow north-south. That's how it works. It doesn't flow east-west, even in our own country. Or it flows overseas to China. I would encourage you to recognize that Russia and North America form quite the arc. And if we just shift our perspective a little bit, look at the top of the world. Look at how things are going to change in the next 20 to 30 years. That ice cap's been disappearing for thousands of years. And it's still here, even though it was predicted to have been gone multiple times, including 2012. It's still there. But the Northwest Passage appears to be opening up, continuing a multi-thousand-year trend of retreating ice sheets and glaciers. This has been going on for a while. Is it not natural for the United States, in order to secure the future for North America, to want to seal the Arctic, to want to police the Arctic, to want to make our hemisphere secure? I've always said that Russia isn't the enemy of the Western world. They've always just wanted to do business, but the world needs a boogeyman. As NATO has expanded right up to Russia's border. And I just want to address one more thing very quickly. Simp, appropriately named, says, are we still pretending it's about the border? And I say, we aren't pretending. Simp goes on to say, this has to be a joke. You think he's going through with tariffs because of the border? He's not even hiding it anymore. He's after full control of Canada's natural resources. This was never about the border. Where do those natural resources flow? Over the border into the United States. Where does the crime flow? One way or the other. Where does the smuggling flow? One way or the other. Over the border. Where do the terrorists infiltrate the United States from? More than Mexico. Over the border. Bud, it's about the border. Case closed. And that's it for today. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website, and I will see you tomorrow. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.